Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment, and magical engineer Frank is ready. I'm ready. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. First part of the show, we're going to be talking about the immunotherapy vaccines for cancer. Yeah. What's all that about? Well, we're going to talk about that and our quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I don't know about you, but I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face and I'm minding the time because it grows short. And today's devotional puts us in 1 Corinthians 2, where it said, "But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Yeah, you want to know what heaven's like? You just can't imagine it. Nobody has ever imagined what he's prepared for you in heaven, right? So lay up your crowns in heaven. Don't let anybody steal your crowns. And mind the time, it grows short, because the Lord Jesus is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report.
Make it.
Thanks, Frank. Okay, here we are, and the Quacker. And if you're new to the show, we just kind of have a little snippet of information here before we get into our main topic. So here in the Quack Report, vaccine safety research found data shows nobody under the age of 60 should get the COVID vaccine. They looked at 1,500 death reports that showed that people of age under the age of 60 should not get the vaccine. Their analysis was done by the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation, and their executive director, Steve Kirsch, revealed there had been more deaths than expected among the vaccinated people in their population control group. So according to Kirsch, it's a precautionary principle that they suggest that it's much safer for people under the age of 60 to remain unvaccinated. How about nobody should be getting it? Moving along in the Quack Report. Oh boy, FDA approves Pfizer's booster vaccine for children ages 5 to 11. Apparently the FDA just authorized the Pfizer dose, booster dose. What was it, the 11th? On the 11th? Anyway, the agency claims it did not notice any new safety concerns, but admitted that the children did experience similar side effects to those that had received the COVID vaccine booster dose, so the kids are feeling it. These side effects, they say, were noted as only being mild and included swelling of the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle and joint pain, chills and fever. So the FDA made their announcement several days before they convened the vaccine advisory panel, so they didn't wait for their input, and some members of the committee have kind of expressed their frustration and disapproval that they didn't consult the advisory panel or open any public discussions. So, well, last but not least in the Quack Report, Frank, did you know there's a fur baby boom? I know you're a cat lover, so you have fur babies. Apparently, the Generation Z adults aren't the only ones choosing pets over people. Millennials are as well in the survey of 1,000 pet owners, and it was commissioned by the Consumer Affairs Division. The researchers found that 57% of millennials love their pets more than they would another sibling, and half of them said the same thing about their mother, and 30% chose pets over a significant other. Although more millennials say they'd rather be people parents than Generation Z, 58% still say they'd rather own a furry friend than become a parent. Wow. Well, what do you think of that, Frank? Well, what were we just talking about on Tuesday? You know, when empathy goes out the door, narcissism comes in, right? People aren't really being with people anymore. What is this, Frank? I'm in that group. Frank says people suck. They can at sometimes, but not everybody's bad, Frank. Hey, but it's just an interesting trend. I'm just letting you know, don't shoot the messenger. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Yes, I have to admit, a year ago I picked up two furry puppies, Leia and her sister, which is Micah, and they are total a hot mess. Well, they're sweet. Well, they have their moments, you know. What'd you say, Frank? Dealing with people is playing Russian roulette. No, thank you. Okay. Thanks you for weighing in there, Frank. Thank you. All right, we're going to be talking about the immunotherapy vaccines for cancer. So medical science has been for the last several decades kind of experimenting with this immunotherapy drug treatment area. Now, science has been testing a vaccine that influences your immune system to kill cancer cells. So the vaccine is called Vaccinia, which contains a genetically altered virus supposedly designed to attack the cancer cells and make those cells more noticeable to your immune system. So if this vaccine gets approved, the marketing on it will have a bunch of advantages published on the cancer treatment, and cancer patients are going to line up for that. Always check into your therapy before you sign up for it, though. So what is an immunotherapy vaccine? Well, according to cancer.net, there are a lot of side effects to the immunotherapy treatments. So these treatments are for cancer, and it really attempts to use the immune system to help fight the cancer. So most of the research says the treatment improves your immune system function. Well, we shall see. So what could go wrong? What are the side effects? There's a ton of side effects, Frank. I mean, I'm going to spend a little time on the side effects because it's important. Well, there are two different immunotherapy treatments, and some work as inhibitors and others as antigen receptor cell therapies, which influence your T cells, which is part of your immune system. So the Vaccinia vaccine is a viral and cellular immunotherapy treatment. So make no mistake, these are considered very powerful drug therapies that can make changes to the human body. Yeah, make changes. So side effects they're going to vary due to the type of therapy you're getting, the type of cancer that you have, the location of the cancer, and so on. So what may not be explained to patients is that the immunotherapy can attack healthy cells, causing what is called an immune-related adverse event. So the various side effects can occur even after you stop the treatment. And the side effects can be mild to severe and even life-threatening. So when the side effects are considered to be severe, doctors may take a pause from the treatment and prescribe their patient corticosteroids to calm down the immune system response. And some of the side effects can be, you ready for the list, Frank? You're going to need shorthand to write all this down. Okay, the side effects are skin problems like rash and itching, gastrointestinal problems like inflammation of the colon or colitis, diarrhea, and swallowing problems, abdomen pain, nausea, and vomiting, muscle and skeletal problems with muscles and joints, arthritis type of pain, and swollen joints and muscle cramping. Kidneys, damage to the kidneys and kidney failure is very common, and blood in the urine, so that is life-threatening. Also, a nervous system affects your senses and your body movement and can also produce neuropathy, which is numbness and tingling of the extremities. Then it says here the blood cell count will be lowered. You can have bleeding and anemia, and lungs, you could get pneumonia, lung inflammation, coughing, and, you know, breathing problems. Endocrine system is on the list, where it affects your hormone imbalance and can affect blood pressure, energy level, thyroid function, and it can also cause diabetes. Also, heart and blood vessel issues, which also is life-threatening. Also, the eyes can become inflamed. Your reproductive organs, you can have problems which could cause infertility. Infusion immunotherapy. So these types are often given by IV and can cause reactions, which would require additional medicines. Here's the one, psychotine syndrome, which it really affects your immune system. It really inflames the immune system area, causing an autoimmune disorder. Also, neurotoxicity syndrome, which will attack your nervous system, offering symptoms similar to stroke or a seizure. Infections. You may have disabling infections, and the immune system cells may not be able to handle it. It can cause also a flu-like reaction. Bone marrow suppression, where it will lower the bone marrow's ability to make blood cells and cause anemia. Thrombotypopenia, leukemia, and neurotropenia.
Wow.
And disseminated intravascular coagulation. So in other words, it disrupts the cells that control blood, and you know, you can become, your blood can get too thick or it can become too thin, which means you either may have clots or you could bleed. What'd you say, Frank? What did you say? Well, at least the rhyme, they rhyme a lot. No, I'm not trying to rhyme anything, Frank. Frank, behave over there. What? Oh. Well, not down my list, Frank. Enlarged spleen or liver, yellow skin and eyes, sweating, cold hands and feet, fast heartbeat, sensitive to light, weight gain or loss, vision problems like dry eye, red eyes, inflammation, blurry vision, and hair loss. Well, I think we covered the gamut there on side effects. Is there anything we left out? I mean, well, not from the report. So it also should be noted, though, that people on immunotherapies don't do well with stress or emotional upsetment. And they have to take great measures to avoid anxiety and stress. So when you're on these kind of treatments, you have to avoid. Oh, Frank says we forgot death. Death wasn't on the list. Well, yes, we said life-threatening. Yes, we did. I included that. Anyway, that's from the report. So I didn't add anything that wasn't on the scientific report. So you have a virus cancer vaccine here, and the vaccinia uses what is called a oncolytic virus, and that is an engineered virus to target a specific cell, and then cancerous tumor cells, and then infect them. So phase one human trials have started on a limited basis of about 100 cancer patients with this, and it's set to conclude the trial in 2025. So previous virus cancer trials were really not very successful. So the virus has been re-engineered to infect cancer cells and force the immune system cells to identify the cancer cells and attack them. Also, animal trials. The animal trials were targeting, when they did this treatment in animals, it targeted colon cancer, lung cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and pancreatic cancer. So those are kind of the main tough cancers most people. Brain cancer is not on the list, so if you were thinking. Here's a quote from one of the professors. This is because they conducted this at the City of Hope Department of Medical Oncology and Therapeutics. This is Professor Dangsen Lee, and he says, "Now is the time to further enhance the power of immunotherapy, and we believe it has the potential to improve outcomes for our patients in their battle with cancer," end of quote. So they believe, still a theory at this point, there's really no hard evidence that it's going to bring on a cure. So the medical research on this and the phase one trials, well, they're designed to test the therapy for safety and for the optimum dose on these experiment treatments. So they're trying to find which dose they should be using. And it's really not designed, though, to prove a treatment actually works. Did you know that, Frank? Phase one is not designed to do that. But the researchers at the City of Hope say they have the ability to track their patients on the therapy, including their responses, and also to see if the cancer is progressing or retreating, and see what the mortality rate would be. Yeah. Well, there's other options, though. I mean, I personally, it's just me speaking, I would never, never go in for something like that. According to Windsor Medical University's research by biochemist Samirian Pandey, dandelion root can destroy cancer cells but leaves healthy cells alone. don't have to mess with your immune system. You just want to get rid of the cancer. So if you look at the dandelion plant, it's structured in such a way to capture its advantages and resources that in its growing environment. So there are hundreds of dandelion species which grow in various climates all over the world, like Europe, Asia, and North America. But God decided to make the dandelion into this hardy plant that grows about 12 inches high. The leaves of the dandelion plant are smooth, sculptured, and notched, creating a deep groove that will act like a funnel-like surface to transport more moisture and water to the root. And the tall, majestic stem is crowned with this bright yellow flower, which opens and faces the sun in the morning and closes again in the evening. So the roots of the dandelion, they're brown, fleshy, and somewhat fragile. And some roots are, harder than tree bark, and some are soft and brittle under pressure. So inside the roots of your dandelion plant is a river of this white milky substance. And this substance does not really taste like milk, but is very bitter and has a unique aroma, sort of sweet, flowery, and a little bit of a nutty taste if you ever taste it. So, our ancestors used dandelion for centuries. In the ancient world, dandelion was used to improve digestion, liver function, to purify the blood, reverse rheumatism, expel kidney stones, and other things. So most natural healers also know that the bitter herbs contain these organic compounds to help stimulate the body to heal itself. So dandelion has those bitter compounds called saponins and sesquiterpene lactones. And one of the medicinal advantages dandelion offers is its abundance of minerals, more than in spinach. Okay, and according to the research chemist Mark Pedersen, dandelion, especially the root of dandelion, has a very balanced mineral profile. It is high in beta-carotene, your vitamin A, which is stored in your liver, and dandelion has been known to assist with inflammation, muscle spasms, and fluid retention. So dandelion can actually accomplish that while it kind of, soothes the digestive tract of any irritation and inflammation and helps balance your gut flora because it contains inulin and pectin, which are mucologenous compound properties that soothe the tissue of the digestive system. What'd you say, Frank? Your grandma used to put that milky stuff from dandelion on moles. I remember you telling me that. Yeah. She said it made moles go away. Right? Not the animal kind, the kind on your face. Yeah. Well, I think God's medicinal plants have many, many resourceful uses. I think they're just broad spectrum in mineral and vitamin and amino acid nutrition, and it's just amazing. So there's really no doubt that dandelion offers, medicinal power and even cleansing benefits. And this is why our American settlers used the plant after a long winter when they were, forced to eat meats and beans. And you often see a lot of dandelion in your herbal cleansing formulas. So our American settlers would use dandelion in tonics and things. And today we have more reasons why we actually need to cleanse more than our ancestors did, not just in the spring either. So you can tap into God's perfectly engineered herbs for food and medicine, and you're going to find dandelion root tincture and many other formulas at the shop called Apothecary Herbs. So you'll find astragalus root there because what we found is astragalus root has immune support capabilities, but when you add it to the dandelion, it has a synergistic effect and it magnifies the power of the dandelion if you want to use it for those serious ailments without those nasty side effects. That's right. So I would say call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They can send you a free catalog. You'll see the dandelion in there. You'll see the astragalus and other things. And you can just pick up the phone and call them at 866-229-3663. That number is 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., it's 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. And, of course, the website you want to check it out is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's, well, if you're serious about herbs, you know, you need apothecary herbs. They have a professional strength formula because they, when they opened shop 22 years ago, they made formulas for practitioners, but now you can buy direct. And so this is what a practitioner is, a professional grade stuff. So this is why it's kind of when people discover them, they're the game changer. Yeah, their stuff is really amazing. And a lot of it has a track record based on Dr. John Christopher's formulas that he had a clinic for 60 years. So these aren't things that are, you know, just pulled out of a rabbit's hat. This has got some standing behind it, it's track record. Empirical history, if not that. So thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. And if you get a chance, if you got email and you want their free newsletter, just sign up on their website. Just click on Books and Newsletter and sign up today, and you'll get two newsletters. There's two of them there if you want to sign up for both. The American Survival goes out the first part of the week, and the Health Quest comes at the end of the week. And it's absolutely free, so you get lots of nice, healthy tips, natural medicinals and therapies in there that you want to hear about. So check that out. If you wanted a little bit more extensive reading, they do have a book called The Power Herbs, 13 Herbs Every Medicine Cabinet Should Have. It's a 400-page book, but it's an e-book now. It's electronic download. So you can choose your format. It's either PDF, Kindle, or iPad. So you can check that out there on the website at thepowerherbs.com. And be empowered. Yeah, learn how to make tinctures in that thing. And learn about the proper way to cleanse for your success. Herbs for nursing mothers or pregnant women. Herbs to avoid if you're pregnant or nursing. Herbs for pets. So you got lots of things in there. And you'll be amazing because you'll be able to share that information with your neighbors, your family members, and pass on the empowerment. That's what I think is so cool. Pass on the empowerment. And God gets all the credit every day, all the time, because they're his herbs. Herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. Yep. From Genesis to Revelation. Check it out in your book. Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Psalms 104, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 7 and Revelations chapter 22 verse 2. So they're there for a reason and we should be using them. Why are we turning to toxic pharmaceuticals? You know, why? Just ask yourself why. Well, I see by the clock we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Apothecary Herbs now for the Kidney Stone Formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Talking about in the first part of the show, the immunosuppressive vaccine therapy for cancer. And since we're kind of on the cancer topic, I thought we'd just recap a little bit of information, what's out there, especially with the American Cancer Society and some medications that are on the list. So let's do that, because it says in the U.S. statistics, they indicate 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women will get cancer sometime in their life. So the American Cancer Society offers what they conducted the epidemiological research on cancer, and they offered categories of cancer on a list. So they originally put together 6 categories. This is the American Cancer Society, and they listed genetics, which is rare, but people are taught otherwise. Tobacco, your lifestyle, your diet and activity. Sun exposure, radiation, and environmental. So that's what they listed. If you press a little further, you'll discover the American Cancer Society admits that they do not keep any detailed information on the cancer exposure risks themselves. So this American Cancer Society does list briefly some medical treatments they say can cause cancer. Chemotherapy's on the list, radiation's on the list, immune suppressant type of medications, and we were just talking about the immune therapy vaccines, which could cause autoimmune issues. So these treatments, they say patients pay for these various treatments for cancer, but they do not mention substances within these treatments that can change your DNA and also be carcinogenic. So like your GM foods and your vaccines, they fall into this category. So I guess indeed there would be a seventh category. And the corporations who make a lot of these products for cancer treatments, they do not conduct cancer studies. So they don't see if the treatment actually gives you cancer. They don't do that. Also, they 2004, federal government released a list of cancer-causing carcinogens. It was titled A Report on Carcinogens, or ROC, and these reports do get published every few years by the National Institute of Environmental Health Science. So the report supposedly includes known and reasonably anticipated causes for cancer, and their list does contain 246 cancer-causing agents. And also they listed viruses. Now, you probably heard of the papilloma virus, but what about the viruses in vaccines? Think about that for a minute. So our government, you know, and our healthcare reports, they all say cancer is important, okay? Or they'll call it the importance of cancer. And I have to wonder, you know, if they really, what they're really saying about that, and because a lot of this is in their financial reports, and they're discussing a disease like cancer and how it works in our medical communities. So, you know, I find it interesting if they're going to spend, let's say, like the American Heart Association is going, or I'm sorry, the Cancer Association is going to spend like $6 billion, let's say, a year with just advertising campaigns for cancer disease and cancer treatments. Well, I guess that would make it important. They're spending a lot of money. And it might be more important than $6 billion because that's what they're laying out. So on just on breast cancer, the U.S. taxpayer pays $780 million or more. So if we want to know exactly how much money's raised for cancer cures, really it's hard to say. It's kind of an estimate, but it's in the hundreds of billions of dollars. So I guess to the healthcare industry, that would be important. So in 1988, there was this professor of economics. His name was George Mason. His name was James Bennett. He was at the George Mason University, and he checked into some of the charitable organizations known to support cancer research and funding, like the American Cancer Society. And according to this professor, the American Cancer Society held a fund balance of over $400 million in 1988. About $69 million was tied up in land, buildings, and equipment. They spent only $90 million of their budget, that's 26% of it, on operating expenses, medical research, and programs. So the rest of it, $240 million, or 60% of their budget, went to salaries, pensions, and executive benefits and other overhead. So the next year, the holdings were $700 million. Whoa, look at that. $400 million in 1 year, went to $700 million the next. And the Americans, their donations account for 6%, so it's about 350 million people send them. This is all supposedly to fight cancer. Other donations come from maybe large corporations, pharmaceutical companies, cancer drugs, telecommunications and entertainment industry. So you have to ask yourself, who's on the board of the American Cancer Society? Well, heads of companies like heads of laboratories owned by pharmaceutical companies, biotech company, entertainment industry, Boeing, actually Viacom, Inc., they all are on the board, and a department store billionaire. Where are the doctors? Where are the scientists? Well, the American Cancer Society is one of the world's wealthiest nonprofit institutions. So cancer is important. It's going to remain that way because money answers all things, according to the scripture. God can't lie. So there's Walk for the Cures. There's the pink ribbon thing with breast cancer. They're supposedly making headway, but still the mortality rate from your oncology reports is 2 years usually for people that get treated with their chemo and radiation and so forth. So it's really, really not a cure. Let's look at the drug list. This is according to the People's Pharmacy. They have several prescription medications known to cause cancer. So this was on their list, and the FDA is not requiring cancer testing for medications, but they may put warning labels or black boxes on them. So things that may predispose you or increase your risk of cancer if you're taking hormone replacement therapies, things like for menopause, and also it's different type breast and uterine cancers, or maybe even thyroid medication, anything that's a replacement hormone. Also, heartburn drugs like Prilosec causes abnormal cell growth in the stomach and can give you stomach tumors. Blood pressure drugs prescribed for your hormonal imbalance may increase your facial hair and also in women and can cause tumors. Dermatitis, eczema, topical prescriptions tend to be also associated with lymphoma or skin cancers. So remember that. Cholesterol medications have been reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association in 1996 that the statin drugs cause cancer in lab animals. Cholesterol drug Viatrin caused cancer in the test subjects. That was the New England Journal of Medicine in 2008. And statin drugs for cholesterol offer a breast cancer risk as high as 143% for women. And that was the Journal of Cancer Epidemiology and Biomarkers and Prevention in 2013. And for men, statin drugs offered an elevated risk of prostate cancer. That was the Journal of Prostate 2011. And the longer you're on these drugs, the higher risk is. Also, Gardasil, you know, the papillomavirus treatment has been under scrutiny. Dr. Christian Fiala, general practitioner in Austria, says the vaccine does not prevent cancer and is not safe. A recent report from their research labs indicated that the vaccine can cause premenopause and destroy ovaries 3 years post-vaccination. They do say they offer cervical abnormalities, including cancer, showing up in 4 to 5 years after the vaccine's been given. So, also vaccines that have been known to cause cancer. Your hepatitis vaccines are in question, along with your genetically modified foods and your DNA modification treatments like the recent vaccines that we've experienced lately. So if you thought smoking, excessive sun exposure were your major cancer risk, you can see that maybe that's just your tip of the iceberg. And you really have to investigate all your therapies really carefully that you're exposing yourself to maybe unsafe cancer risk. So as you can see, with all these medications, detoxing the system is really more important than ever, right? And you'll be amazed what you can accomplish with a nice system organ cleanse detox. Get those toxins out, which become metabolic stumbling blocks for your body, and they can't regenerate and heal like it should. So if you think you want to keep heavy metals and radioactive particles and pharmaceutical residues and pesticides and things, really, if it was on your dinner plate, you wouldn't need it. Well, then it's time to do a cleanse. And if you're looking to do a cleanse, there's a right way to do them. The folks at Apothecaries will educate you on how to do a cleanse to work with your system of detoxing that God created so that you don't reabsorb the toxins you're trying to evacuate or get rid of. So give them a call at 866-229-3663 and ask them about their organ cleanses. You can see them up on the website at thepowerherbs.com. They're listed in order and how you should do them, especially in the catalog. You can get them one at a time, or you can get a whole kit with all of them in there, and then you get an instruction pack, and you just start at the top, and you work through the cleanses one at a time. Never do a whole body system cleanse. Never do that. It's too much stress on the system. Cleansing, detoxing can be taxing to your system. So you want to, you know, give your body a break and just do one at a time. Thepowerherbs.com. Check them out. I wanted to kind of look at some snippets here from some, this is a journal of Royal Society of Medicine in the UK. They were doing surveys, asking doctors questions. They were surveying disease and patients, and they got some very interesting feedback from the doctors. So they say physicians can recognize that, well, disease, you know, well, apparently they're kind of arrogant. The doctors are saying that disease is not for them, but it's only for their patients, which I find interesting. Apparently, young physicians are told early in their careers that illness is not appropriate among your doctors. So you never look sick. Never show up to work sick. Over 64 British physicians were interviewed. They admitted that going through residency made them physically and mentally ill. A residency. And long hours, they said, skipping meals, eating junk food out of the vending machines, and operating on very little sleep contributed to their physical and mental decline. Oh, yeah. Do you remember Dr. Rebecca Carly Frank when she was on our show here? She said residency was grueling. She says it was the worst experience she ever had. And a lot of mistakes are made at the hospitals because a lot of these doctors are sleep deprived. Well, burnout and suicide are the results of this kind of thing. And physicians are taught not to appear vulnerable and to look as if they were superhuman. Not kidding. This is this report from the Royal Society of Medicine. So therefore, the physicians do not call out sick and take numerous medications, though, to get them through the day, and often starts their long list of drug addictions. You know, you want to look at a drug addict, it's usually a doctor. Or an alcoholic, they're usually doctors. Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from the survey. Physicians, and also was in the journal, 2007, it says, illness doesn't belong to us, it belongs to physicians. It belongs to patients. So physicians say, we're not to look sick, we're never to be sick. Superhuman. So we seldom look at the health of the employees working at the healthcare systems. Have you ever noticed them, Frank? A lot of them are very overweight, especially the nursing staff. I've noticed that. Not really the image of health. Not really. So in this survey of what should be young, vital, and healthy physicians, 27% were saying they were depressed, severely depressed. And so no wonder a lot of physicians lack bedside manner. And why would the medical establishment want their healthcare physicians to be in denial about their own health and put out this false image? Well, it's all about part of their illusion. There's really no other way to say it. So it isn't just the hand washing that doctors do to avoid feeling ill in there at the hospital and office. Many are actually popping some narcotics as well. So here's some quotas. Physicians and physician groups hone their physicians to pull in a patient schedule that makes your head spin. So when patients complain the doctor only spent 5 minutes with them, it's because of patient quotas. So when this happens, doctors barely remember the patient's name. If patient records were not kept updated, this makes the doctor kind of look bad. And because they are supposed to appear superhuman, they will get mad if they look bad. So they yell at the staff. And believe you me, I used to get yelled at when I worked in medical. So not all doctors are like this, but a majority of them operate on a revolving door schedule of patients. Patients really don't like to think of themselves as just another patient file, but with quotas in the mix, that's essentially what you are. And we wind up asking ourselves, when did healthcare become so impersonal, toxic, and risky? What'd you say, Frank? You said, well, there's another way to say it. It's called fraud. Thank you, Frank, for being so blunt, honestly blunt. Money answereth all things. God said it too. Here's a quote from the report. This is from the Royal Society of Medicine. They said, when medical schools and hospitals fail to directly address the stigma of illness among students and healthcare providers, not only do they endanger practitioners and their patients, health by discouraging them from seeking support, but they also miss the opportunity to demonstrate just how vulnerable the experience is and what the life of the patient can be for clinical practice, end of quote. Well, in 2007, there was a study, and they learned that the medical students that faced personal illness during their schooling as physicians turned out to have better bedside manner because they were more empathetic, more mature, and had better experiences. However, the message that physicians get from their mentors and their employers is, quote, your experience as a patient is not relevant or important to the practice of medicine. That was the State News, June 2017. Here is a quote. This is Irene Starogopoulos, a medical student. She said this: the healthcare system is confusing and difficult to navigate on top of the treatment side effects and uncertainty about the future. I have found that the stigma some of us physicians carry because of the experiencing physical illness is nothing compared to the mental illness many of my colleagues carry. In order to have a deeper understanding, doctors need to be taught how to be ill, you know, and to be human, you know, to be real, truthful. So the study also mentioned that it is the superhuman mentality taught to the medical school students that leads itself to physicians being treated like gods and are not to be challenged. Even their guesses and assumptions regarding treatments is not to be questioned. They're learning that crap in school, Frank. Here's a quote from the General Practice News again. They say, the average net income for all independent physicians in 1947 was $11,300. General practitioners received $9,541. 1947. And now according to the report, this is the 2017 U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health 56% of physicians with a chronic condition were registered with a family physician but would self-diagnose and then avoid self-treatment. So it's really no surprise that they are going to struggle to cope with their own condition. And their medical school's training is to keep illness hidden. This is the full effect, and it's going to carry throughout their career. So medical professionals are urged not to self-treat because they lack objectivity and would miss quality care. Remember that the next time your doctor scolds you for not seeking medical treatment sooner. Right? Pot calling the kettle black. Well, so it can be a surprise that our medical experts that we tend to turn to for answers really don't seek experts to get help themselves. Kind of weird, isn't it? So more physicians are suspended from practice each year because they refuse to get help for their illness, for especially addictions. Now, our medical professionals often have to kind of hit rock bottom before they get help. And there is an atmosphere of fear in the healthcare profession, and doctors develop anxiety about being perceived as ill or weak. And general practitioners see many patients per day and are less likely to cancel their appointments to seek help themselves. So by the time physicians do get help, they have developed unhelpful coping strategies that must be unlearned. The Journal of Medical Health in 2011 said this: we have a general 10 to 20% of doctors that become depressed at some point in their careers and have a high risk of suicide compared to the general population. And David Emerson, former UK surgeon, said, the habit hangs over you like a fog. And a 50-year-old physician with bipolar disorder said, it's a political business. Being a hospital healthcare professional, you don't show anybody any weakness. You don't want people thinking you need help. And also Dr. Francis Burnett, a psychiatrist, says, the surprise for me is that a lot of doctors I see become mentally ill, not because of the clinical work they do, but because of the way they are managed in the healthcare industry. We are seeing sharp year-on-year rises in the number of young doctors and junior doctors who have another 30 years in their career ahead of them, and they are panicked in their own lives, end of quote. This is not good. You know, if your doctor is not sure about his own life and his own health, how is he going to help his patients? Well, it's all about the clinical side, right? So just write a prescription. Refer him to a specialist. Oh, well, I just wanted to give you that little snippet of information, that little insight. All is not always what it seems to be, right, Frank? But call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you an herbal catalog that will open up the door of options to you and empower you. Their number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website, thepowerherbs.com. Well, I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, the information presented is not intended to diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical doctor if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.